everyone, and welcome to episode 137 of Rain Delay Radio, a baseball podcast. My name is Naim. I am joined today by Pat. Pat, how's it going?
Oh, man. Yeah. If this was the perfect weekend, it absolutely was. We went down the shore for the weekend, and I proposed to my girlfriend this weekend, and she said yes.
So. She said yes? Okay, cool.
She said yes.
You know, I know there was a touch and go there for a little bit.
I proposed to the daughter first. I said, "Can I marry your mother?" And her first response was, "I just want to go play in the ocean." And then I called her back, and then she was like, "Okay, sure." And then I asked her, and it was great. We had the sun setting in the background over the ocean. It was perfect.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. Very happy for you. I mentioned in our Slack channel that you should propose live on the podcast. Clearly that didn't happen.
No. Proposing live did not happen on the podcast.
Would have been fun, you know? It would have
been pretty funny.
It would have been good. It would have been good. No, anyway. Let's talk about some of I haven't been on in a while. It's been a while for me. I was out of town and then sick. It's usually like I'm the guy who's on every single week, but you and Dylan have been really, really, you know, taken over the last few weeks, which is great. That's why we have so many people to rotate in the podcast, although I think we need to start building back out because some people have taken extended leaves of absence. All right. Well, with that all, let's get into the news. And we'll start once again with the thing we don't really want to talk too much about, which is the Wander Franco news. I'm sure you've heard about it. He's currently on the restricted list due to ongoing investigations from inappropriate relations with a minor. Multiple minors now, as you know, more has come forward. Franco, for what it's worth, has denied on an Instagram Live. There's plenty of places to read about this. Really nothing we can say. If it's true, then it sucks and he's an awful person and that's terrible. If it's not true, then I mean, we hope it's not true.
Right. I hope it's not true, but as like someone who is a girl dad, this whole thing makes me sick and angry.
absolutely. Yeah, all we can hope is that it's not true, and if it is true, that you know, the appropriate measures are taken. Reminiscent, of course, of Felipe Vasquez. Yes, I forgot his name. Which is good. You don't really want to think about the guy's name, right?
No.
Which Felipe Vasquez, for what it's worth, was sentenced to 2 to 4 years in state prison almost exactly 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, August 17th, 2021. But he's still theoretically facing charges in Missouri and Florida. That's the Vasquez stuff, and then the Franco stuff again. If it's true, then probably won't play baseball again. Wonder what that means
what
for
a way
the Rays to payroll, but like that's like maybe the least important part of all of this.
What a way to waste a promising career. Like, you could have had it all. Like, you were a bona fide star, and you just wasted your entire career because you're a piece of garbage. Like,
absolutely. Congrats. Allegedly a piece of
garbage. Again,
we really hope it's not true, and that
we really hope it's not, you know? But everything we're reading is
there's a lot of damning evidence. Certainly a lot of damning evidence that is not looking great. But you know, we'll see. The Rays have, you know, pulled all commercials involving him while the investigations are ongoing. So that's the Wander Franco thing. We'll keep an eye on it. Really not a lot we have to add to it. Considering we're not, you know, there's like, we have no additional insight that you're not going to get from, you know, someone who knows quite a bit more than us.
Right.
So anyway, let's talk about Julio Rodriguez, a young talent who is still playing baseball right now. Set a record for most hits in a 4-game span with 17, which I believe is the same number the Yankees had in that same span.
Yep. He is on a scorcher. The Mariners
17
have been
games
too.
And four hits is, I mean, that's 17 hits in four games is nuts.
Very impressive. And like, the Mariners are on a nice little hot streak too. making the AL wildcard race a little more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that AL West race specifically has been
it's tight.
So fascinating all season. You know, I think early in the season, we kind of expected the Rangers to cool off. They didn't. Yeah. And so, like, it is kind of this three-way race. The Mariners are only, what, 2.5 games back of first place, and they're in third place. So they're 3 games back. Sorry, they're 3 games back of first place, but they're in third place. The Astros are 2.5 games back in second place, and the Rangers are in first place. So, like, it's that's going to be fun to watch down the stretch is that that three-way race there. Usually we're seeing those in the AL East, but this year it's in the West.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like, the Rangers made the right moves at the deadline. Astros made the right moves at the deadline. And the Mariners getting hot. You know, I don't know if they made the right moves at the deadline now, but you know, Scherzer's
it's fascinating, right? Our friend Riley is a big Mariners fan, and he, every chance he gets, complains hey, you know,
about not having Paul Sewald.
It'd be great if we had Paul Sewald right now. Yeah. So, you know, but I mean, the rookie they got for Sewald hit a home run in a pivotal game a couple days ago, right? So, like, you win some, you lose some, I guess. You know, like, I think. Sewald obviously is a great reliever, but I think you kind of want to get the value you can get out of a reliever as quickly as possible. And he's not like got a long history of being a great reliever. He's got a short history of being a great reliever. Right. So you sell him at the peak of his value, you know, as a 33-year-old reliever and get something out of it. I get it. Like, in the moment, you kind of would like to have Paul Sewald, like, have an elite, you know, closer, but it's tough because is Paul Sewald that? Is he going to be that long term? Probably not. No. You know, so getting the three players they got out of him, one of whom was Dominic Canzone, who hit that home run. I get what they're going for there. I don't know. It is tough. It is tough, especially considering they also lost Edwin Diaz like a year earlier.
That's. Imagine if they still had Edwin Diaz.
Right? Exactly. Yeah.
They'd only really be missing Kelenic.
Yeah.
And he's gone now anyway, so, yeah.
I don't know, man. Yeah. Those
interesting to think about.
Those former M's, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's not like, you know, like, they've got back-end bullpen guys, you know? Like, Andrés Muñoz, I think, is, like, a little bit wild, but has been good. Like the thing is, they had a strong enough bullpen that they could be like, hey, if we get rid of Sewald, trade him at the top of his value.
Yeah.
You know, you can get positive future value out of it without burning. But yeah, I don't know. It is a tough, like when you're hot and you're like, yeah, we don't have the closer we had, but I get it. Mason Wynn, future Cardinals legend, got called up this week wearing the number 0, which is very cool. Again, speaking of Riley sorry, Riley does weird bits sometimes in our Slack channel.
They're great.
They're very funny. I'm a fan of them every time. Riley's a good friend. Like a week ago, somebody was talking about ranking all the possible jersey numbers, and Riley did.
He did it. He did it.
He ranked every single jersey number from 1 to 100 of best to worst vibes, and 0 was second to last. And I have to disagree. I think 0 is a cool number. Not a lot of people do it, you know. You know, it's one of those, like, especially for a team with a lot of history like the Cardinals or the Yankees, where a lot of those single digit numbers are already retired. It's cool to come up and be like, hey, I'm gonna wear number 0 and like try to stake that claim and be one of
the only major league players I've seen wear 0 are Ottavino and now Wynn.
Yeah, to my recollection, that is all I can think of as well.
And like, players in other sports don't really wear it either. Like, DeAndre Sist, who's a running back the Eagles just got for this year, is the first Eagle to ever wear 0.
Well, so I was going to say, I'm a Pacers fan, and the Pacers point guard, future of the franchise, Tyrese Halliburton, wears number 0. Mm-hmm. And their last year rookie, now sophomore shooting guard Benedict Mathurin wears double zero, which really? Is a lot of fun to have on the same team. Yeah, and then Obi Toppin, who we just traded for, wears number one. So we have zero, double zero, and one all on the court at the same time, which is really fun.
Hmm.
Andres Jimenez wears zero as well.
Right.
And then Billy Hamilton has been wearing the zero for the last couple of years. And then, yeah, a couple of guys. Austin Dean wore zero for the Cardinals. Domingo Germán wears zero for the Yankees. Yeah, right now it is Domingo Germán, Samad Taylor for the Royals, Bryce Turang for the Brewers, Mason Wanning obviously for the Cardinals, and then Andres Jimenez, Sam Haggerty for the Mariners.
Oh, there we go.
Billy Hamilton wore it for the Sox in 21 and then for the Twins in 22 and then back on the Sox in 23. Marcus Stroman has been wearing zero for the last couple of years as well.
Right. Well, you know what? Then, it makes sense that Riley hates zero because he hates Sam Haggerty. So
he does hate Sam Haggerty. That's so true.
He hates Sam Haggerty.
He hates it. That's probably why he put it so low, because he hates Sam Haggerty.
I guarantee that's why he put it so low. we got to get him on here one of these days.
We should, yeah. The last guy, by the way, with double zero was Tywin Walker when he was a Blue Jay. And then before that was Brennan Bosch wore it in 2014. And Brian Wilson as a Dodger wore it in 2014.
My God, Brian Wilson is a Dodger.
Wilson is a Dodger is very weird. Can you imagine if Brian Wilson had ever played for the Yankees, if he had to shave the beard to go play for the Yankees? But yeah, Brian Wilson as a Dodger is a very weird thing to remember existed. He had a really good season for the Dodgers first year there.
Great answer for your Immaculate Grid question.
That's a great Immaculate Grid. Yeah, Brian Wilson. I always use, although for Dodgers and Giants, or the Dodgers, Giants, Mets, any of those three, I use Duke Snider. That's
a good one.
Because Duke Snider was such a like Dodger guy, and then he played like a season each for the Mets and Giants. So Snider's a good one.
Favorite Immaculate Grid guy to use is Ty Wigington.
I use Ty Wigington so much too. God, he's so bad. Orioles All-Star Ty Wigington is that's the best. That came up once or twice. Great. And it's like that's the best place to use him is Orioles All-Star.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Ugh. I forgot he was a Philly right before he was a Cardinal. He finished his career on the Cardinals, but yeah, they signed him and like they used him way too much. And I was like, why do you keep playing Ty Wigington at third base? Like, what are we doing here?
I had Ty Wigington on a fantasy team one year. I think that was the only All-Star year he ever had. So
the Orioles All-Star year, the 2010, yeah. 2010 yes. Ty Wigington.
That was the year Batista hit 54 home runs too.
Which, by the way, Wigington was not good that year either. He was good. He was actually pretty good in 2008. He had an 876 OPS. But yeah.
Anyways, right.
Mason Wynn. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, oh, yeah. By the way, Mason Wynn got called up. And then Pete Alonso, from his the Mason Wynn's first major league hit, took the ball and
yeeted it into the stands.
Like it was like a deep throw. It was like it's one of those things of, I mean, it was very weird, right? We talked about this quite a bit in Slack because I was kind of giving Alonso the benefit of the doubt there.
I won't ever.
I know you won't. It was a little weird, right? It was like because he did shake the ball a little bit, pointing at the Mets dugout, and it seemed like maybe he was asking the Mets dugout, "Hey, is this an important ball or can I throw it?" And maybe the Mets dugout said no. And so he was like, maybe. Okay, cool. Let me toss it. But also weird because usually guys don't toss unless it's the third out.
Yeah.
Like it's super uncommon to throw a ball into the stands. That's not the third out. So like it is very like, I don't know if he was being an a-hole on purpose.
I think he was.
You think he was?
I think he was. He had.
He could have been. I mean, he could have been. Right? It's like
he heated that into the stands.
I can give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's certainly a high probability that he was being an a-hole.
Like when the Cards dugout's chirping at him and the fans are chirping at him, he's getting upset about it because he clearly knows.
It's possible that they're chirping at him and he's upset about it because he realizes he messed up and he didn't realize in the moment that he had messed up. You know, I can see a situation in which he just made an honest mistake. But I do also think there is a decent probability that he was being a jerk on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, this is the guy who when in the home run derby went up against a cancer survivor instead of Pete Alonso time. So, you know.
Okay, but to be fair, it was Pete Alonso time.
I can't wait for it to never be Pete Alonso time again, because he's an irrelevant first baseman that plays for an irrelevant Mets team.
Hey, man, in 10 years, he's going to be great for Mets 100 RBIs, you know?
Oh, he will be, yep.
Right now, he's not good, right? Right now, it's like, okay, well, it's obviously Pete Alonso. But yeah. In a decade, when we've forgotten about Pete Alonso, when he was, like, a Dodger for 4 years or like, you know, just, like randomly played, like, two seasons with the Guardians and nobody remembers.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be, oh, Pete Alonso, 100 RBIs. Curtis Granderson, you know, never, like, had, like, 92 with the, no, not Curtis Granderson. Who was it? Lucas Duda. Lucas Duda had like 92. And I was like, are you kidding me? Lucas Duda only had 92?
Lucas Duda is in the top five in all-time Mets home runs.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, that's sad for a team.
Yeah.
It's been around for long enough for that to have been
He played with the Mets for so long. I'm actually going to pull the list up here.
7 or 8 years. Like 7.5 years. Like he was... No, there's no way. He only had 230 home run seasons, and only half of one of them was Mets.
He's ninth. I'm sorry, ninth.
That's still a little high.
Yeah, it's very high.
Yeah.
Pete Alonso is currently fifth.
But, like, Pete Alonso bangs, you know? Like, Pete Alonso hits home runs, like, mad. So like
he exists.
That again.
You're right.
Well, yeah. I mean, Daryl Strawberry, David Wright, Mike Piazza makes sense. Howard Johnson.
Yeah. You know?
Michael Conforto at eighth? Really? Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of funny to me.
Wow. Okay. All right. Good for Mike Conforto, I guess. But
somehow Curtis Granderson hit 95 for them. So that's interesting.
He only lived there for like 2 years.
Yeah.
By the way, if you don't remember, again, helping out your Immaculate Grids, Curtis Granderson was a Brewer for a year. So that'll be handy to remember. He was a Brewer and a Marlin and a Blue Jay and a Dodger. The other teams you'll remember. But the end of his career, when he like bounced around a little bit, Brewers Curtis Granderson comes in clutch for lots of grids for me. we're just gonna do an Immaculate Grid podcast. This is a daily Immaculate Grid podcast.
Oh my gosh!
I have been talking, and you agree that we should be doing some like just heinous TikTok content.
Heinous TikTok content. I post just nothing but videos of my cat. I need to post more stuff on TikTok.
Yeah. But like those videos do well. Man, have you been like, honestly, I didn't realize. So like I found out that Mookie Betts had a podcast through TikTok.
Yes.
And it's good. Like it's a lot of great content. I get served that stuff all the time. Turns out it's only been going for like 8 weeks.
Yeah.
it's just like, I get it. I understand, you know, if Mookie Betts podcast is going to get traction. But like, yeah, I mean, it's just
That's how I found out about the Kelce Brothers podcast, was just coming across a random TikTok of theirs.
But they've been going a while, right?
A year now. But when I first heard about it was through TikTok when they first started.
Okay. How long has the Paul George podcast been going? Because that's been showing up a lot for me too, and I feel like I feel like that's probably also only like 8 weeks old.
Yeah.
But like obviously, you know, I get it. It's Paul George. You know, Sand. No, Paul George one's been going on a while. That one's 5 months. So like that, okay. But like again, I get it. It's good content, you know? It's like a player talking to other players and they're very open about it. That's the big thing. It's like Mookie had Zach Gallen on and he's like, yo, I hit my first Dodger home run against you. He was like, yeah, I remember. It's like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah.
I hear something cool. 17-year-old Ethan Salas has been promoted to Double A. Very quick promotion for Ethan Salas. We talked a bit about Ethan Salas. We talked about Salas in our trade deadline predictions podcast, right?
Yeah, he just moved up to Single A.
Yeah, to High A. He was in Lake Elsinore in Single A. Got moved up to Fort Wayne. For High A, and now Double A, which is what, Tulsa, right?
Yeah, it feels quick to me because he has not been hitting at High A, so it's kind of I don't know what Preller's thinking.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's possible they're just like, hey, look, we don't think he's going to learn enough at double A, at high A. Let's just move him straight to double A. He's going to be there soon anyway. Or maybe they're like, hey, we see San Antonio, not Tulsa. Tulsa is I think the Dodgers.
Yes.
But it's possible there was like, hey, we see all the pieces running here, so let's just call him up to double A, and not deal with, you know, because I mean, like, what's the big difference between high A and double A, like, as far as talent pool goes?
So if you ask me, double A is the toughest minor league level out of all of them, because that's where you've got the top prospects who are starting to come into their own at. So I get why they're moving them there, because that's the most competitive minor league system. Like, as far as like the different levels, that's the most competitive level to me in the minors.
Right. That makes sense. No, I see. I totally see where that's coming from. And I think then it kind of makes extra sense as to why you'd want to sort of call him up to double A quickly, then just be like, look, this is where the talent is that he is going to be playing against in, you know, 2-3 years in the majors. So let's just call him up here and have him against this talent and not deal with the Midwest League. You know,
like, he's moving quick though.
What's he gonna do against the Dayton Dragons, you know?
Right.
He's
moving so quick though. It's like, man, when could he be in the majors next year as an 18-year-old? Like, I don't know.
Ah, man, next year does feel, I mean, that feels soon.
It feels so soon, but like the way that Preller's been aggressive with him, and like the fact that Padres really don't have a catcher situation going into next year.
I think the big thing is he hasn't really played. I mean, he's played obviously quite a bit of catcher, but he's played about as much catcher as he has DH.
Yeah.
And I think a big reason for that.
Padres also lack that too.
Well, and I think a big reason for that is that he is so young, you know, and so they don't want to overuse, you know,
the knees.
They want to make sure that if he is the catcher of the future, which they clearly is what they want, that he's the catcher for the next 20 years, like a Yadier Molina or a Salvador Perez,
right?
And not a guy who, you know, like a Carlos Santana, right? Who's like a catcher for 3 or 4 or 5 years and then has to move to first base because his knees can't handle it anymore immediately.
Like a Pablo Sandoval.
Well, I mean, at least Carlos Santana like was like a proper major league. I think Pablo Sandoval a catcher in the minors, or was he like a, hey, we kind of need to figure out a place for his bat?
I think he was a catcher in the minors,
because David Freese was a third baseman in the minors. They were like, we need to find a place for him somewhere, so let's have him learn a little bit of Sandoval played a decent amount of catcher in the minors, but yeah, I mean, it's
2008
just like,
and 2009, Sandoval did play catcher in the majors.
Yeah, but like a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Like David Freese played catcher in the majors in 2009 as well, you know? Like, David Freese is not a catcher.
Right.
This was a fun fact, by the way, that I tossed in the group chat the other day, was that Michael Morse came up as a shortstop. Michael Morse like primarily was a shortstop in his first year in the majors.
Yep.
And then they were like, hey, this guy can't do that. Right.
Right.
So, Mike Morse shortstop. Can you imagine? Can you even picture Mike Morse as a shortstop?
Not anymore.
Anyway, we're excited about Ethan Salas, and maybe he's going to get traded one for one for Shohei Ohtani eventually, you know?
That was
the trade, right? That was Dylan's trade.
Ethan Salas for Shohei Ohtani.
Straight up, one for one.
One for one.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you just have some money, exchange hands. That can make sense. It's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
Shane McClanahan.
Yeah, I realized I put Steve on the outline. And I don't know. I don't know why I wrote Steve.
I was confused for a second. I was like, are we talking about a different person?
No, we're talking about Shane. It's... I don't know why I put Steve.
Talking about Shane McClanahan, who is getting Tommy John surgery and is out until at least 2025. Just an awful week for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah.
Just
pretty bad.
Just not what you want as an organization. To have maybe your two best players ineligible to play baseball for one reason or another.
Yeah.
Not
very
good.
Very unfortunate to lose the ace of your staff, especially this late in the season with, I mean, what looked to be a deep playoff run coming that
yeah
doesn't look like it's going to be so deep anymore.
Yeah, you know, like their starting rotation has not had a great time. Like Drew Rasmussen also on the 60-day IL.
Yep.
Like right now, their starters are what? Zach Eflin,
Tyler Glasnow, Savale, and Bradley.
And Bradley or Littell?
I feel like it's Bradley. I'm not sure, but I feel like Bradley's probably going to get shut down soon.
Bradley's back out in AAA.
Oh, is he? Okay.
He's on the 40 man, but he's not on the 26 man. Right now, the start for as far as starts go, Zach Littell and then Sean Armstrong and Erasmo Ramirez has a couple of starts, but those are, I think, opens. It's not looking, I mean, like Eflin and Glasnow are major league starters. You know?
I mean, Eflin's been good.
And Savale is a major league starter. Like they have three major league starters, and you know those like each of those guys has had a history of potentially like being really good. You know, Glasnow didn't have a full 2021, but was really really good in the part of season that he had. Same thing with 2019. So if he can sort of turn that burner back on, then like suddenly you have an ace again. Yeah. Eflin, like you said, has been quite good. Aaron Savale has been having his best season with the Guardians and the Rays. So you know they can maybe weather it, but certainly not what you want to see again, especially because they also don't have a shortstop either.
No, they do not.
I think
they lack a lot of things right now.
Yeah. I don't even like what is the short like is Oslevis Basabe playing shortstop for them? Like what is?
I mean, they did just move Colson Montgomery up. He's a shortstop, right? I think he is.
Vidal Brujan is in AAA. They could call him back up. Like it's
Colson Montgomery plays for the White Sox. I'm thinking of the wrong guy. Who's the shortstop that they have in the
minor? Yeah. I don't remember the name. I know who you're talking about.
It's what's his name? Carson Williams, who's in AAA right now.
But so I think so. He's not on the 40 man. So what I could see is the McClanahan. I guess McClanahan is on the 60-day already. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, they got 5 guys on the 60-day IL and 45 guys on the 40-man. So I think they called up like Greg Jones might be the 45th guy they called up to the 40-man. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Or you know, Caminero does play shortstop. They could move him up.
They could move Caminero up. Yeah, it's tough. It's very
tough. I mean, Caminero's raking right now in Double A too. So.
Yeah, as Dylan would say, it's tricky.
It is tricky.
So I don't know. We'll see, but this could be like the you know just the worst back 2 months of a season that you could ask for for the Rays. As the Orioles are not really letting up, you know.
They are not.
And the Blue Jays too. That's the thing is you know we mentioned that the AL West teams are all sort of clumped up, but the Blue Jays are only half a game behind the Mariners for that third wild card spot.
Yeah.
And so if the Rays lose their two best players, that certainly gives the opportunity for them to slide down and the Blue Jays to slide up into that spot. So we will have to see. Let's talk a little bit about the Little League World Series. How much of the Little League World Series did you watch?
I've watched a little bit of it, mainly keeping up with the PA team from media.
Sure.
So they lost today to Rhode Island, unfortunately, but it was cool watching them play. And the Phillies played in the Little League World Classic today. And they, you know, Harper, Schwarber, Castellanos, all of them went out into the crowd while the PA team was playing and was cheering them on, which was super cool to see.
Awesome. Yeah.
I love the Little League Classic and, you know, the Little League World Series as well. It's great seeing, you know, those kids out there having fun.
I miss Players Weekend.
I do too. And like that, this kind of feels like Players Weekend in a way.
Well, because Players Weekend always was like around the Little League World Series, right? And like and the idea was that I think one, like the Little League Classic started out as the Players Weekend game. That it would be like, hey, here's like one game at the Little League, but then everybody else also will have like, you know, fun stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wish they would bring that back. I'd love to see that come back next year.
Yeah, me too. Like the jerseys were like a little goofy, but like it was fun to have those, you know, like have the nicknames on the back, and like it was just cool. You know, I still have a Carlos Martinez Tsunami jersey, and I have a T-shirt and a jersey of Josh Fegley, because Fegley's nickname was PTBNL.
Nice.
So it's like, hey, this is the A's jersey to have, you know?
Yeah, that is the one to have.
Yeah. But like, yeah, like I get they were like a little bit goofy. And like I can see why they could you know, maybe have better looking jerseys there, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But like having the nicknames on the back was fun.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, again, it's 3 games a year. Like, go ahead and do it, you know?
Yeah, I'd love to see that come back, because especially with the current crop of guys in the majors, like this is the time to do it. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Do
it. Bring it back.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's true. Like as the players are like getting a little bit, you know, cause the Players Weekend started in 2017. The last one was in 2019. So I think it was really, part of it was COVID. Part of it was, I think, the switch to Nike, that sort of ended it. Although I'm sure Nike would love an excuse to sell a different looking jersey, you know. Like, I think it's just like, okay, we're sort of working with this new thing right now. I think, you know, players certainly have been developing more. MLB players have been developing more personality and having more personal brand in the last 3 or 4 years than they did 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, like I think 4 or 5 years ago it was like just Bryce, right? Like,
yeah,
like a couple of others, like Bryce. Francisco Lindor, you know, like there was a handful of guys who like kind of had like a brand of being a fun guy. But not nearly as much
as a lot of stars. Bryce was the big star.
This was the star. Yeah.
Was kind of the one that I'd say started it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. probably started it.
Griffey started it, but it didn't really carry over. And then Bryce, he's like such a baseball nerd trying to emulate Griffey.
Right. Like, yeah, really, and like another thing, and obviously it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and I get why it rubbed some people the wrong way, but like, I think now looking back, like certainly that it was, you know. Yeah, like Bryce Harper, largely I think was good for baseball. Continues to be good for baseball. So yes, we are officially advocating. And by the way, I'm a person who hates colored jerseys. I don't like colored tops in baseball. I think they look goofy. But bring back the Players Weekend jerseys. I'm okay with those.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's 3 games a year. It's fun. Let it be fun. I'm cool with it being fun a little bit, and then be stodgy. You can be stodgy and be fun at the same time. You know, I'm all for stodgy baseball. I'm a pro stodgy baseball guy. I'm just, when I'm advocating for a color top in baseball, you know you should be doing a color top. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Corey's brother? Remember Corey's brother? Oh, it was great.
Yep.
It's great. The worst was Dexter Fowler. They didn't let him put Sexy Dexy on the back, so he had to say yes. Dex, which was just like, all right, come on, what are we doing here? Just let him put
Sexy Dexy
back in his jersey, you know? Paul DeYoung also, his nickname was Paulie D, and the guy from Jersey Shore has a trademark on it.
Oh, no.
So I think the first year he just had his last name DeYoung, and then after that I think he did Paulie.
Nice.
But the Jersey Shore guy wouldn't let him put Paulie D on the back of his jersey, which is like, come on, Jersey Shore guy, screw you.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here, you know? Carl's Jr. let Carl Edwards Jr. put Carl's Jr. on the back of his jersey, you know?
Yeah.
Let baseball be fun.
I agree. 100% agree.
Hey, we got three big series coming up this week. Let's talk first about the two that we can talk least about. Blue Jays at Orioles, like we mentioned, the Blue Jays, who are, you know, on a bit of a hot streak, not, I don't think, as hot as the Orioles are.
Yeah.
But are, you know, I possibly smell blood in the water with the Rays, and have a three-game set to really help their case, you know, to really become a put themselves into a playoff position. Is there anything specific you want to talk about with this series?
So the two series here that I listed tie into each other because Red Sox and Astros is equally as important. If the O's sweep the Blue Jays and the Red Sox can take a bunch of games from the Astros here, the Red Sox can pass the Blue Jays in the wild card standings.
By the way, if the Red Sox take all those games from the Astros, they also could pass the Astros in the wild card series.
It would be one behind the Astros.
Okay, yeah. So that I mean, like, that's
it's a four-game series with them.
I think we've kind of forgotten, because of their position in the standings, that the Red Sox are not that far from being a playoff team.
No, they are not. And it's like, kind of wild. But, like, the Red Sox, over their last 10 or 7-3... They are 3 back.
And they've won their last 3.
Oh, wow. Toronto is actually not in a wild card spot right now.
No, they're half a game Seattle back of Seattle. Yep.
Wow. Okay. So, but very important.
Yeah, it's I mean, the Red Sox Astro series is the one to really, really watch, but the Blue Jays the Blue Jays Orioles one for sure is important as well.
Cuz the O's could possibly try and kill Toronto's season if they wanted to. Because it's hard to make up that ground if you lose it.
Yeah, that's true, right? And who is Seattle facing?
So Seattle will be facing
the White Sox. White Sox and the Royals this week. So the Seattle's got an easy week ahead. And they have also, I think they've won their last 7 in a row.
Yeah.
Or they're not 6 in a row. They won their last 6 in a row, and they have 6 coming up against the Sox and the Royals. So, I mean, if the Mariners at the end of this week are not comfortably in the second wild card spot, you know, like,
it's
if not the first wild card. I mean, first wild card spot again is a little tough because the Rays are a little bit further ahead. And the Rays have the Rockies and the Yankees coming up, so they don't have tough teams coming up against them either. But as we mentioned, have also lost their two best players, are not in a great position right now. So we could see big, big shifts in the AL wildcard standings coming this week.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch.
And again, by the way, in the AL West standings, because the Mariners are facing have easy 6 games. The Rangers also don't have a tough 6 games. They have 7 games. They have the Twins and the Mets coming up.
Yep.
So not the toughest, but you know, that can still be quite a big swing for the Mariners. Yeah. Only 3 games back.
The AL West is nowhere near done. And man, could you imagine if, like, not only Seattle winning a wild card spot, but winning that division after how they started the year?
Yeah, yeah.
There is a path there for them.
I mean, there's a path for them to be there at the end of this week, you know? Like, not like a crazy path either. Like, not an unbelievable path, you know?
Sweep both series and hope that Texas goes 3-3.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're tied for first.
Exactly, yeah. And Texas has not had the best last couple of games.
They are 4-6 over their last 10, yeah, and okay, they've lost 4 in a row.
Yeah, they've lost. That's the big thing. They've lost 4 in a row, whereas Seattle's won 6 in a row. Houston
has also lost 3 in a row.
Yeah, so this could be a huge week for the Mariners to get back into first place, where they, I don't think, have been since like sometime last year. So,
and like, Boston's hot right now. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They've won 3 in a row. They swept the Yankees. And like, Boston's such a weird team because you look at the team and you're like, where's the star power outside of Devers? But like, their home record is really good. They've been getting stuff done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I mean, just they've got a solid, I think, group of players, right?
Yeah.
They do, however, have a very, very tough next, like, because they have 4 against the Astros,
yep,
and then 3 against the Dodgers, and then 3 more against the Astros.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to make or break their season this stretch here.
But this, I mean, if this next week and a half is good for them, you know, if they go like, if they go, they, you know, what, 5-4?
Yeah.
If they go 5-4 in this next 9 games, like, that's still really good for them for this, you know, this part of the schedule. And if they beat that in any way, if they go 6-3, you know, that's great. Like, that could be the difference between being a wild card team and not being a wild card team, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Yoshida, you know.
Yeah.
Johan Duran. They got Justin Turner.
Yeah.
They've got guys. But no, you're right. Nobody really seems like a star.
Right.
Aside from Devers, who, even Devers is like, he's a Red Sox star, but he's not like an MLB star.
He's not having the MLB, the season that we're used to from him.
Yeah.
I would say he's an MLB star when he's on.
I think he's like, I think because they had Bogarts, he was always kind of like the number two guy there. And then now that Bogarts is gone, he's the number one guy, but still not like, you know, hasn't been that guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't even an all-star this year, you know?
He was not. No, he was not.
So, I mean, you know, they got guys there.
They got guys.
They got guys. But then again, they traded Kike Hernandez to the Dodgers, you know?
They did, yeah.
Like, but Trevor Story's back off the IL, and he's been...
He is back. Okay. He's been decent.
He's been okay.
He hasn't been terrible.
Take some time to heat back up, I'm sure, but like... I don't know. This could be one of those like surprise run teams, the Red Sox.
It could be. I swear we get like one of those surprise Red Sox teams like once a decade.
Yeah.
Like that 2013 team. Like, granted, they were vibing off of what happened in Boston that year, but that was very much a surprise team.
Well, the 2013 team ended the season as the best record in baseball. But yeah.
They didn't start that way. They had a rough start that year.
Yeah, and the 2012 team was bad. So, like, it was one of those,
the
like...
The 2012 team was very bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they acquired Adrian Gonzalez the year before, and then at the deadline, they flip him, which, ironically, I bought... My dad and I in 2012 went to Boston that year, because I wanted... As much as I didn't like the Red Sox, I always wanted to see Fenway. So we went and saw the Angels play the Red Sox in Fenway, and that was Trout's rookie year.
Oh, yeah.
And I went there wanting to see Pujols play, and then Trout like exploded onto the scene and became, I want to see Trout play. But I bought an Adrian Gonzalez jersey there because I loved Adrian Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And he got traded 2 days later.
To LA, not to the Angels, LA. To LA. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
That was the last, like, the last real fire sales. Like, when I think of fire sale, I think of that Red Sox Dodgers trade.
Gonzalez-Hanley trade. Yeah.
The Red Sox Dodgers trade, and then also the Marlins Blue Jays trade that was also that offseason, or maybe the next offseason.
That was Gonzalez and Carl Crawford to Dodgers, and they got back Ruby De La Rosa, who I was convinced was going to be an ace in the majors because he threw hard, and at the time players throwing hard was like wild.
So no, because it wasn't just that. It was Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Josh Beckett, and Nick Punto.
Yes.
Or Ivan De Jesus, James Loney, Alan Webster, and then players to be named later who ended up being Ruby De La Rosa and Jerry Sands. So like that was like a real Apple Fire sale. That was like four like names. You know, I mean, Nick Punto's a little bit less of a name, but like three names and Nick Punto, you know,
Crawford and Gonzalez. And like, great, Carl Crawford was terrible, but like, man. And then Beckett throws a no hitter for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
2 years later, which last episode I talked about attending. I was there for that.
By the way, Adrian Gonzalez was also traded by the Dodgers with Charlie Culberson, Scott Kazmir, Brandon McCarthy, and cash to Matt for Matt Kemp to the Braves, which is also just a wild trade that exists. Brandon, like all those guys, like at the end of their careers, you know, the Braves released Adrian Gonzalez before he played any games for them.
Yeah,
but like, what a wild trade he was a part. He was also part of the Anthony Rizzo to the Red Sox trade. What is like what?
So Rizzo was the centerpiece of Gonzalez being traded to Boston, and then Rizzo played like 10 games with the Padres, and the Padres were like, "Nope, you suck." Traded him to Chicago. I forget who that one was for. Was it Cashner?
Cashner, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It was Rizzo for Cashner. It was like a cool little challenge trade they did.
You know, it worked out for both sides. Maybe a little bit less for the Padres than for the Cubs, but definitely worked out for the Padres. Like,
yeah.
Cashner had a couple of really good seasons in San Diego. Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, man.
Anyways.
Giants at Phillies is the last series we want to talk about.
At Phillies,
that is the first wild that's the first wild card versus the second wild card.
Yeah,
and the third wild card right now is the Cubs, but there's a three way tie of teams that are one game back between the Diamondbacks, the Reds, and the Marlins. Real quick to talk about that, the D-backs and Reds both had really hot streaks and then cooled off, which I think was to be expected, you know, like
they're young teams.
We didn't really the Reds were like a shock. The Diamondbacks were like, what is happening? This doesn't make any sense. The Marlins, however, are a team that I do think can sneak back in there. I mean, any of these teams can sneak back in there, you know, like they're not that far out of it that they can't sneak back in there. That is a sort of a fascinating third wild card race. And they're also not that far behind the Giants, who are themselves not that far behind the Phillies. Like if the three wild cards are the Diamondbacks, the Reds, and the Marlins, I don't think anybody would be shocked.
I don't think so.
But yeah, the Diamondbacks really have a chance. Or it's not the Diamondbacks, the Giants really have a chance to make big strides by overtaking the Philly here. Pat, obviously, as the resident Phillies fan, I'm sure you've had this weekend. I mean, I know you had this weekend circled on your calendar because you put it in the rundown.
Yeah. So like looking at it, like the Giants are 3-7 in their last 10.
Yeah.
And then the Phillies have been 5-5 in their last 10, but like this is could determine home field for that wild card game in the playoffs. And I think it's a good opportunity for the Phillies to jump on this and step on the Giants.
Well, and it could determine
secure
because first
that first wild card spot,
right? But the first wild card plays the
first third? Wild card plays two,
right? First wild card plays second wild card, and then third wild card plays the bottom division finisher.
Right. So this would determine home field advantage for wild card one versus wild card two.
For the wild card series, wild card one versus wild card two. Yeah.
The probables for this weekend is pretty, or this week is cool. So Scott Alexander goes for the Giants versus Nola tomorrow night. So the Tuesday game, the Giants have TBD for their starter, but it's Kyle Harrison getting called up for that spot. So it'll be Harrison versus Walker for game two. And then game three is Cobb versus Orenson.
By the way, this week, the Diamondbacks have a 2-game set against the Rangers and then a 4-game set against the Reds.
Oh, I missed that one.
Which is also huge. Like, because they're not in that wild card position right now, right? But they're fighting for it. And like, if they don't split, right? If one of those teams goes 3-1, against the other, that's, you know, that's bad news for the Cubs, who are, I mean, and the Cubs right now are facing the Tigers and then the Pirates. So like, that's right. Also, they don't have the toughest of teams against them, but that Reds Diamondback series this coming weekend, could be huge or could be nothing. Yeah. But like, it's definitely worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah.
Because again, those are the teams that need to overtake each other. Yeah. The Marlins are facing, they have three against the Padres and then three against the Nationals. So, you know, not the hardest baseball games necessarily.
No.
The Padres are like a team that is playing well below their talent level. The Nationals are a team that's not good. The Marlins, Reds, and D-backs are very worth keeping an eye on this week as well, because I mean, legitimately, by this time next week, I think it's unlikely that all three wild card teams are different.
I think the bottom third could be different. I don't see the top two changing unless like the Phillies sweep the Giants, or if the Giants sweep the Phillies still have a wild card spot in my eyes.
Right. If the Phillies take 2 or 3 from the Giants and like the Reds sweep the Diamondbacks, you know, like, and the Marlins, you know, take 4 of 6 from the Padres and Nationals.
Yeah.
That's, I don't think the Phillies, I mean, I think the Phillies this time next week will have a wild card spot.
Yeah.
I think it's possible that the Cubs and Giants don't.
I think the Phillies will still be first, because the schedule they have this week is Giants for 3, then the Cardinals for 3, and then the following week they get the Angels for 3.
Yeah. The Reds, by the way, have the Angels before they have the Diamondbacks. So the Reds have 3. Again, no game is easy, and the Angels have some of the greatest players in baseball and are only a couple of games out of 500. They're no Athletics, who have lost their 90th game, I believe, today. First team to 90 losses.
But the Angels can't play on the road, and the Phillies have one of the better home records in baseball.
Yeah. The Angels Reds game is in LA, though, so, or in Anaheim. I'm just saying those three teams that are on the cusp of that third wild card, which are also not that far from the cusp of the second wild card, like any one of those any two of those three teams could be in the 2 and 3 wild card spots next week. It's a tight race for that second and third wild card, both in the National League, much like it's a tight race for that second and third wild card in the American League. There's just fewer teams vying for it, right? There's only those three teams, right? And then the Red Sox just outside. Whereas right now there's 5 teams for that second and third wild card in the National League. So
it's good to see that we've got tight races this year, and not like the Mets and Braves with 100 games and the Dodgers winning 100 games and all that. Like,
well, I mean, there were those races.
And the Padres.
Because like the Mets, the Braves can't be caught, right? And the Dodgers are not going to be caught. And, you know,
saying more so the second place teams in each of those divisions being 100 game winners.
Right. Yeah, there's that. There's that. But you know, I don't know. It's interesting, right? Because like, there was that season where there were like, was it 300 or like 397 game winners in the National League Central, and the Cubs and Pirates had to play the wild card game.
That was the year the Cardinals won the division that year.
Won the division, and the Cubs and Pirates had to play the wild card game. That was like 2015.
That was the Royals BS season. That's right.
Yeah. But like, you know, like I kind of like that better than I like both sides of it too, right? Because I also do like the idea of like an 88 win team, you know, sneaking into the playoffs and making it to the World Series, right? The Phillies were an 88 win team last year.
We saw that last year. Yeah,
exactly. And the 2011 Cardinals were an 88 win team as well.
Yep.
So like I like both sides of it. So I don't know. We could get. I mean, like the Rays are, you know, again, I guess it's tougher to say with the Rays because they just lost their best
players.
They
just lost.
But they were 2.5 games back of the Orioles. But and again, the Astros are only 2.5 back of the Rangers. So we do still have those division races. That we like. It's just there's less of those in the National League than there are in the American League.
Right.
So, I don't know. Mostly the Padres suck, you know.
Like,
and the Mets. Who knows what happened to the Mets? I mean, they Mets'd. We all know they're cursed. They're the Mets. But yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. We will see. We will certainly see. Well, Pat, I did not look at the time at all and realize that we have gone an hour. So
we have once again.
We managed.
We managed.
for a fairly light news week, we just managed to like talk a lot about the number zero.
We can thank Riley for that.
We sure can. We sure can. When the Mariners make the playoffs this year, we'll get Riley on the podcast. I think yes, actually Riley absolutely. Was because last year it was like there was like, hey, either the Mariners are going to get in or they're not going to get in. And it was like we had either Riley or I don't remember. Was it the Orioles that ended up making it over the I don't remember who made it over the Mariners last year.
No, the Mariners made it last year.
Did they?
Yeah, they swept Toronto and then they got swept by the Astros. Robbie Ray gave up a meatball to Yordan Alvarez.
Oh, maybe it was just a scheduling thing. Maybe we had like somebody else and he was the backup and the other person was able to make it. Because there was another one last year, though, that there was like a, hey, either your team's going to make it or the other team's going to make it. And we're just going to go with whatever team. And like, you know, the other team didn't make it or whatever. That's right. Yeah, the Mariners won 9 games last year. Yeah, who would it have been last year then? Was it? I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it was the Brewers. Maybe it was the Brewers versus Phillies, and then that's what ended
up. That's right. Yep.
Because you were they were within a game of each other, and it was like okay, like Pat, either you're on or Kevin. I guess that's probably what it was. Either you or Kevin, and then the last day of the season determined that it was you, not Kevin.
Yep.
So, all right. Well. Well, we're not far from the playoffs now, folks. We're we're pretty close to teams clinching. You know, getting eliminated. The A's, I believe, mathematically are not yet eliminated. If the rest of the AL West loses out,
I'm gonna hold a funeral for them when they're out.
If the entire AL West loses every single one of the rest of their games and the A's win all the rest of their games, the A's will be tied with the Rangers for the division.
That's incredible.
Wow. Well, basically, if the Rangers lose all their games and then, so if the Rangers lose out and the A's win out, the A's are a playoff team.
Incredible.
As of tomorrow, the A's will be eliminated. But as of today, we still have everybody still officially has a chance at being a playoff team. Even the Nats.
Even the Nats.
Yeah, because the Nats only have 68 losses and the Braves only have 80 wins. So mathematically, everyone still has a shot. So we'll start the eulogy next week. This is it. This is officially where playoff predictions and playoff hunts begin. So we're here. We're at the end of August.
Yep. Here we go.
Well, with that, Pat, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Rain Delay Radio is produced by Lewis. My name is Naim. I edited this episode. I also hosted along with Pat. Our theme music was composed by Chuck Leese. Rain Delay Radio releases every Monday morning at 1 a.m. Eastern Time, or sometimes a little bit later when I'm tired and a little lazy to edit, or sick. Last week I had COVID. I have a valid excuse. Last week I actually never wrote the episode description for last week. The episode description for last week still says, "Hi, it's Naim. I have COVID. Does anybody read these anyway? Awesome. I might write one of these tomorrow." I'll write an episode description this week though. So anyway, next week we'll be back with more baseball news and honestly probably legitimately a eulogy for the A's. Do we want to get somebody, we want to get like Fred Gorion again to be like, oh my god, hey, this eighth season, and they're both gonna be like, I didn't watch a single game. Like,
yeah,
did you watch this baseball? Like, anyway, if we have that, we'll have it for you next week. Otherwise, we'll just talk more baseball. See you then.